My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
That leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. You know, when the Bible says few, it really means just a few souls, just a very small number. Like in the days of Noah, a few were saved in the ark. How many? 8 souls. God's not talking about the majority of the religious world today. The majority of our religious world is going down a path that has been devised by men. Now, friend, we hope today that you'll get on the narrow way, the narrow path. You've got to realize that one way is not as good as another. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, the scripture says, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death." We may think it's the right way, and we may feel in our heart that this is the way God would do it. But if it's not found in Scripture, you can be sure it's not the way home. Because the Bible is the perfect roadmap. It's the only way you can know you're on the right path. Now imagine going on a journey. If you go on a journey to somewhere you've never been, you get out your map. Maybe you've got a GPS. You put in the directions, and it tells you exactly how to get there. Now, halfway along the way, if it tells you to go right and you turn left, are you going to get there? Absolutely not. Your way was not as good as the way the roadmap said, and it didn't get you to the right direction. You see, my friend, the Bible is that roadmap. And unless you're willing to follow it, there's no way you're going to make it home. Understand this also, that the way home is not difficult. It's not something that can't be understood. The way home is very, very simple. In fact, in Isaiah 35 and verse 8, the Bible says, "And there'll be a highway, a way which we call the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass in it, over it, but it shall be for those who want to do God's will, for the wayfaring man, those who want to follow through. It's for those who really want to do the will of God. It's like a highway, a major road, and you can get on it if you desire." And so what must a person do to get on that road that leads to the way home? There are really 3 steps that we want to outline for you this morning for you to get on the road home. First of all, you have to be willing to give up yourself. To get on the road home, you've got to come out of self. You've got to realize that this life is not for living for oneself. I want you to think about the words of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. As we talk about one giving up self, look at what Jesus said. "Then Jesus said to His disciples, 'If any man desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me.'" You've got to be willing to deny self. Say to yourself that life is not about me anymore. Life is no longer going to be lived for my pleasures and my passions and my lust. I'm willing to give up to follow Christ. I love the example found in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. The context is that of giving. And the Macedonians were very liberal givers. But of these great givers, it is said, they first gave themselves to the Lord. To really get on the right road, the way home, you've got to deny yourself and you've got to give yourself to the cause of Christ. This means that you've got to put off the old man of sin. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24 talks about the putting off of sin, the ungodliness, the unrighteousness, and the putting on that which is right. Those things that we know are not according to God's will, we've got to take that off and no longer clothe ourselves with sin, but rather be clothed with righteousness. And friend, you've got to be willing to forsake all to follow Jesus. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27, we're told that if we're not willing to forsake all, there's no way we can be a follower, a disciple of our Lord and Savior. And so you've got to come out of self and you've got to get into Christ. To be saved, a person has to get into the group of the saved. To get on the right road, you've got to find the right way. The right way to get on that road is through Jesus being baptized into His body. You see, to become a Christian the Bible teaches is something that is very simple. It's not difficult. God hasn't made it where we can't understand it. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 3, verse 4, that when we read, we can understand God's will. A person to become a Christian must first believe Jesus is God's Son. I'm reminded of Acts chapter 8. When they came to a certain water, Philip and the Ethiopian nobleman, he had been discussing evidently baptism with him, and he said, "Hey, you've talked about it. Here it is. What hinders me from being baptized?" Do you remember that condition? "If you believe with all your heart, you may." Do you believe truly that Jesus is God's Son, that He's the Savior of the world, the only way to be saved? If so, then you also need to repent of things in your life that are not right. Repentance is a changed will. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 8, certain Jewish leaders came out to John the Immerser to be baptized. And it looks like they just came out because it was something popular to do. Everybody was doing it. And John said to these people, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And then he said this, "Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance." True repentance demands a change in life that is seen by one's lifestyle. Acts 3 and verse 19, Peter said, "Repent and turn, that your sins may be blotted out." Luke 13:3, Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish." And so I believe in Jesus. That's part of God's plan of salvation. I'm willing to repent, give up those things in my life that are wrong, and desire turn to Jesus and desire to follow Him. But then you also have to confess Jesus as the Son of God. In Romans 10, verse 10, the Bible says, "With the heart, with the mind, one believes in the salvation, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation." I've got to say, as the Ethiopian nobleman did, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, if a person won't confess Christ, Christ reciprocates that. He's not willing to confess you either. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. And so once we believe in Jesus, we've changed our life, we have a desire to no longer live in sin but turn to God, then we must confess Christ and be baptized in water. Friends, there are so many people today who don't understand the importance of being baptized to get into Christ. Imagine drawing a circle. And inside that circle represents being in Christ. How does a person who's outside of Christ get in that? Well, Galatians 3 and verse 27 tells us explicitly how to do that. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." And so to get in the right path, to follow the way of the Savior, to be a child of His, you must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, understand me well. We are not saying that this earns salvation for you. This is not some kind of meritorious work that you can do and then you can look up to heaven and say, "God, you owe me salvation." Being baptized is no different than believing, confessing, repenting. It is a condition that God set forth that we must do because God said it. But we don't look to heaven and say, "Now you owe me salvation." It's not something that earns us salvation. It's not a work. It is something that we do to keep the will of God. I'm reminded of Jesus' words in Mark 16:16. If you ever had doubt about the essentiality of baptism, think about what Jesus said here. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned." If you don't even believe in Jesus, you're not even a candidate to be baptized. But if you believe, then Jesus says you must be baptized to be saved. Two conditions equals the result of salvation. Now someone says, "Well, that's just one scripture." Well, think about Acts 2 and verse 38. "The gospel has just been preached. This Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ." Verse 37, they came to that conclusion in their own minds. They were cut in their heart and they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" We realize we've just killed our own Messiah. What can we do to deal with our sin problem? And Peter said, "Don't do anything. Jesus has done it all for you." No, that's not what he said. Acts 2:38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promises to you and to your children and all those who are far off." And the Bible tells us those who gladly received His word were baptized. Did those people have to be baptized for the remission of sins? Absolutely. Paul had to. Acts 22 and verse 16, the scripture says, as Paul was told to go and wait in the city and be told him what he must do, Ananias comes to him and he says, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Paul had to be baptized so he could have his sins washed away. And so we hear God's word. We believe in Jesus. We're willing to repent of the things in our life that are not right. Confess Him as the Son of God. And then be baptized so that I can be a part of the saved. Those who are on the journey home. But then once one has come into Christ, he must go on toward heaven. Out of self, into Christ, and on toward the journey to heaven. That's the principle we want to expound upon for just a few moments as we think about really living a faithful life for Jesus all the days of our life. You see, the journey's destination that we're talking about today ends up in heaven itself. In fact, Paul said this in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. I want you to notice what Paul here said in verses 1 through 4. Here's some beautiful language about heaven and about the hope and the joy we ought to be looking for. Paul said, "If then you were raised with Christ, you seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." To make it to heaven, we've got to stay focused on heaven. You see, Jesus had something to focus on, and we ought to as well. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says, "Seeing then you're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily ensnare us. Let us run the race with endurance, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of God." Jesus had the joy of pleasing God, of fulfilling the Father's will as his focal point coming to earth. And friends, our focal point ought to be heaven. The moment we stop looking up and start looking down, we'll become discouraged, we'll want to give up, and we'll never make it to heaven. But friend, to really make it to heaven, you've got to keep focused on that which is right. And so we ask you today, are you on the way home? Have you gotten to be a part of the family of God? Have you made the decision, I want more than anything to go to heaven? If not, why not? Why have you not obeyed God's will? More than anything, we want you to know that God loves you and God wants you to be saved. God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. If you'd like to have a copy of today's lesson, you can visit our website, thegospelofchrist.com. We'd be more than glad to provide that for you. And if there's any way that we can help you on the way home, don't hesitate to call. We love you. We want more than anything for you to make it to heaven.